For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Chuck, Tommy just referenced the game last night. Hal Burton has that hamstring issue in the third quarter. I counted the Pacers out after two games in New York, and I'm counting them out again. I could be wrong, but you think they're done? Because I sure do.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but certainly Boston was better last night and better on their home floor, and I think Boston's going to win the series, but I don't think Indiana's done, no.
I don't know. I've watched two games of this just from afar, but it sure seems like Boston is the more dominant team. But
Boston's better. There's no doubt about it.
I'm going to tell
you, Boston would have beaten New York. I love the Knicks, but Boston would have beaten New York, I think.
But they're
going to win the Eastern Conference, and I would not bet against them to win the whole thing. But we'll have to see how that works out.
No one really thought the Nuggets would fall to the T-Wolves the way that worked out either.
Yeah, I mean, it's the playoffs. It's hard to predict, but it sure looks like the Celtics are the best team in the East anyway.
I know Jaylen Brown was disappointed. I feel like he got snubbed for not making an all-NBA team, even after some of his numbers and his play this season. Maybe that will fuel him to continue to have some productive playoff games down the stretch. I still remember, I can't remember how old I was, Chuck, but I got a chance to watch Jason Tatum in high school. He's a St. Louis kid. He came down to Little Rock for the real deal at The Rock, and I remember watching him then. I was like, man, this kid can play. You can't project and figure out what he would amount to today, but a Duke Blue Devil and then a Boston Celtic, it's crazy some of the talent that plays in Little Rock for those AAU games.
I got to referee Jason Tatum.
Oh, did you?
They came to Bentonville and played Malik Monk's team.
That's right. I forgot about
it. And I got the opportunity to be in that game. And, no one knew then, but that was a hell of a basketball game that night at Bentonville. So, yeah, there's some, I don't say connection, but, you know, there's some people like you and that have gotten a chance to see him here in Arkansas back in his high school days. And no one thought he'd be probably then the best player in the NBA at some point, but that's what he's turned out to be.
We've been blessed to have some talented high school players. You referenced Malik and some other guys to watch, but it's these AAU events that you sometimes get in Northwest Arkansas and Central Arkansas that bring in some of the top tier talent in all of college or in all of high school basketball. As it is in college baseball in Hoover, Alabama, where Arkansas fell 9-6 to the Kentucky Wildcats yesterday. Listen to Dave's press conference not that long. Mason Melita, Peyton Holt alongside them. We'll get to some of what the players had coming up, but here's first what Dave had to say just about his team and where they are right now.
Really got to give credit to Kentucky. They came out and they played a really good ball game, obviously. Made all the plays defensively, a couple of really nice plays in the infield. And, you know, when we made a mistake, they hit it out of the park for the most part. And we didn't play a clean game. You know, the first inning, we got behind early, threw a ball away and didn't catch a ball at second. And bang, we gave them two runs. And they're, you know, they're tough to catch because when they get ahead of you, they can do some things. But I was proud of our team for battling back, got back in the ball game after Peyton swing with two outs, drove in three. And
yeah, and so he hits that 6-4, and you're thinking you're starting to cook a little bit.
Here we go, here we go.
And unfortunately, Kentucky just kept going. It was Holden, I guess, Walter Schmidt were the ones that both hit two home runs yesterday. So the clean game, the word clean, I know you've used it, Chuck, and Dave used it too. This is some of the things that I just jotted down, like, from the jump. You had the opening walk. You had the throwaway. Hudson White had the throwaway at third. You had that ball go under Stovall's glove, and that's all in the first inning, right? This isn't something that was over the course of the game. That's all in the first inning. Then you had the Aloy had a misplay. You had the foul ball. I guess not foul ball. The fair ball that Peyton and Kendall Diggs collided on. It was just that's not typically what you're used to seeing with Arkansas baseball. And these last two games, you've had 15% of your errors on the season in two games, Chuck.
They didn't play well. You're right. Yeah. I mean, they didn't play well. You quantified it very well there. And they're going to have to play better than that if they're going to win the regional, if they're going to get out of it. I thought they played yesterday like a team that was ready to come home, like a team that had been on the road since last Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I saw. Now, look, we've learned over the years with our teams. We've had teams that have gone two and out and ended up in Omaha. We've learned over the years that what happens in Hoover doesn't always have anything at all to do with what happens the next weekend. I hope that's the case this year because they didn't play very well down there. But I don't think what happened in Hoover is going to have anything to do with what happens next weekend.
Yeah, and
I do feel pretty sure about that.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the defensive problems, but was it Stovall that hit the ball that McCarthy stole from over the fence early? I thought that took some
McLaughlin.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought that took some wind out of the sails a little bit because if that ball's 3 inches higher or that dude's 2 inches shorter, that's a home run. And, you know, I don't know that changes the course of the entire game. But, Chuck, I thought that was a momentum swing and an energy boost early for Kentucky.
Kentucky played yesterday like Arkansas has played for much of the season, minus the stolen bases. You know, the defense, making all the plays, taking advantage of the other team's mistakes. That's winning baseball. You know, when we use that term winning baseball, that's what winning baseball is. Mm-hmm. And that's what Kentucky played yesterday. I'm telling you, he almost caught that ball Holt hit. You know, if you watch that replay, he timed his leap perfectly. I'm not going to go so far as to say he deserved to catch that ball. But he did everything you have to do to try to catch that ball. It barely got over his glove, and I thought he was the left fielder this time. I thought he was going to bring one back, but you got to flush that. Now, here's the thing. I suspect very strongly, knowing some of the parties involved, that they're hacked off. I mean, I got a feeling they're really hacked off right now because they did not play well down there, and they know it. Nobody's got to tell them. We can go through list after list after list of the things that they didn't do well. They know it better than anybody. My guess would be they are back with something to prove, and that you're going to see a different energy level when they play next weekend. And candidly, they've got to play a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm sure they know that a lot better than we do.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, Hagan Smith, pitcher of record, gets tagged with the first, you know, official loss of the year. And, you know, he had the poor performance at the beginning of the year. And we saw how he responded down in Texas following that. I'm not suggesting he's going to come out in the regional and, you know, strike out 17 batters. But, you know, we have seen how he responds before after, you know, less than satisfying performances. I wonder if we see something like that either Friday or Saturday next weekend. Well, only time will tell. But I'm like you. I mean, if they're not hacked off, they need to be, and I believe you're right.
I think they are. In fact, I feel pretty certain they are. And that's why, frankly, I'm not torn up about what happened in Hoover. I acknowledge very clearly they didn't play well. I mean, they didn't play well at all. But I'm not torn up about it because I've seen this happen before with our team and with other teams. People get on them a little bit. People start saying the season's over. People start saying, here we go again. Man, if you've got a competitive fiber in your body, that's got to get you going. And I think it will. Now, does that mean they end up in Omaha? Does it mean they win the whole thing? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But I'll bet they play a whole lot better next weekend. If they don't, the season's going to end. I mean, you know, and again, they know that better than we do.
Yeah. Brady Tiger got an inning of work, gave up three runs on a hit. One of those earned, walked one, struck out one in the seven batters that he faced.
He blew up after the error. Mm-hmm. He was fine till the error, and then he blew up.
And then he had one of the three errors, as you mentioned. Well, how do you feel about, you know, it's been a while since we've seen Brady. How do you feel about the limited work we saw?
He was fine until the error. Okay. I just saw a guy blow up after that.
Yeah, here's what Dave said on Tiger, because you said kind of the same thing, Chuck.
I thought Tiger was really good for an inning. Had a hitter down 0-2 and just made a really big mistake, and he unloaded on it. You know, it's little careless things like that. Balls hit off the end of the bat, spinning like a top. You don't feel it with one hand. You feel it with two. You don't run away from it. Ball spun right out of his glove. I mean, when you're older, you know that. Freshman, the younger guy, it doesn't happen again down the road. But that inning couldn't happen right there. That was frustrating. But other than that, Tiger's first inning, man, he looked really good. His breaking ball going, spotting his fastball down, had a little movement, a little sink.
Now, I will say, listening to Dave yesterday, he made that reference again to the veteran. So you could tell he was a little frustrated. And I don't know if nonchalant is the right word with Brady, because, I mean, the spin on the ball was nuts. But he was kind of ticked off that he didn't do what veterans do, two hands on the ball, the glove and that, and make the play on it. Again, that's not – people just look at that and it's an easy play. He had one. If you watch the sixth where he cleaned up, he had a similar type of play and he made it easily. And just that one didn't go his way, unfortunately.
Well, and you're right. All the things that you're saying are right. And sometimes a coach says something and everybody feels like, you know, it's okay for us to magnify it. Let's not go overboard with what happened in Hoover.
Yeah.
Let's just not, because we've seen this enough to know that it just generally doesn't have anything to do with the regional. Now, again, if they don't play better, the season's going to end. But I believe they will.
So you've seen Dave up close and personal in this situation.
Been coming a while, but yes.
But how do you think he handles the team? You came back yesterday. You got a holiday weekend. You don't play for 7 days. Is this a get back and grind, get to work approach? Or is it, hey, give these guys some time off, some rest, go see your girlfriends, go to the lake, go see your families. Let's come back Monday and get after it. How does, in your opinion, how does Dave approach coming off of Hoover, being on the road, as you mentioned, for a while? What happens the next 2 or 3 days with this team?
Well, there's still a day-to-dayness to baseball. And, you know, we've kind of talked about this during this week that, you know, a lot of that's broken up now, you know, as you get into the postseason. So, hey, it wouldn't surprise me at all. And I don't know what their plans are. I know they, at least the plan was to fly back last night, and I'm assuming that they were able to do that. I wouldn't suspect there'd be a whole lot today. But neither would I suspect him to say, hey, I'll see you Monday. I would not expect that. Nor would I expect the players to say, coach, I'll see you Monday. I wouldn't expect that either. So I would think there'd be some things done over the weekend.
Phil made a good point. He jumped on us for Hog Reaction yesterday, and it's the first time since February that they haven't had baseball on a weekend. And I didn't think about it like that, but I mean Thursday for some people is the start of the weekend, but Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they're off technically, and you kind of recalibrate and adjust. And to your point about this not being I wholeheartedly agree. I said it probably 100 times on the postgame show yesterday. The last two College World Series appearances, Arkansas is 1-4 in Hoover. 2019, 2022.
You can say that about most of the SEC teams that have won the national championship.
Yep, 1-7.
I think Vanderbilt is maybe the last and one of the handful of teams that have won it in Hoover and then went on to win it all.
LSU's done it a time or two. LSU's done it a time or two.
I think 2019.
But it's the exception, not the rule.
Yeah, 2019.
No, you're right. No doubt about it.
5 years ago. So, I mean, there's a good chunk of data between now and then that shows that it's not the end of the world. And we were talking with Nick Schmidt, who joined us yesterday. If you missed that conversation, it'll be in the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast or whatever. And he even, I just asked him, it's not like the SEC was chopped liver back when you were playing, but how much has it been amped up? And he was honest and open. I mean, it's just a new level of baseball right now. Well, when you look at the last 5 years, think about this, every SEC West team, with the exception of Alabama, has made it to Omaha, and three of them won the national title. And that's the division you have to compete in each and every year.
And Ty, it's going to get more dominant because as more money flows into this conference, and now, you know, we're going to get into the lawsuit, more money's going to flow back to the athletes. The rich are going to get richer. So everything you're saying is right, but I think it's only going to be compounded, Chuck, because there's going to be more resources for the players available financially and otherwise at SEC schools. So, you know, the best players in their group are always going to be in the SEC, I believe, because the best facilities, the most money, and you can just keep going down the list, is going to be here. So as dominant as it is now, I think it's only going to be more so dominant and difficult in this league.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt it's going to get better. One of the things that I've kind of been paying attention to and will continue to pay attention to is, I believe, the demise of the Pac-12. Helps the SEC and the Big 12 in baseball, perhaps the ACC, conferences that put money into it, I guess is what I'm saying. There's a lot of kids, there's a lot of baseball players in California, and I don't know how many of those kids, first off, the programs out there, while they are good programs, are underfunded. By and large, people don't pay attention to them. They don't have 10,000 people at their ball games for sure. And now they're going to have to go play, a conference ball game in, you know, the Eastern time zone, where it's cold in March, where you're lucky if you can get a game in. I just think that's going to continue to benefit the conferences that are in warmer weather climates and put money into baseball.
It is still weird to me. Moss posted this picture of him and Danielle, and it's Big Ten media days for USC. I know we've had to compute and wrap our minds around a bunch of things lately, but I still can't. I can fathom Texas and Oklahoma being the league because of the regionality of it, but USC and the Big Ten is still odd to me. And it's going to take me a while to, again, recalibrate and remember kind of where these conferences and what teams are in them.
And I don't even think every Big Ten team has a baseball team, even. I'm pretty sure Wisconsin
doesn't
have baseball. So, I mean,
is that a Title IX there just because of the cold?
I would assume.
No, they've never had University of Wisconsin, as long as I can remember, has not fielded a baseball team.
Yeah, so.
Because I can remember when, like, for example, you remember Eric Hinsky, you know, who played for Arkansas in baseball and ended up playing in the big leagues for a long time. He was from Wisconsin.
Oh, wow.
The baseball option then was Wisconsin-Oshkosh. And the University of Wisconsin offered him a football scholarship, but they didn't have baseball, and he wanted to play baseball. So ultimately, he came to Arkansas as a baseball player and ended up, you know, he may still in the big leagues, I think, as a coach. So, they haven't ever had baseball. The climate just doesn't allow it. And that's my point, is a kid from Southern California who's been playing every day for his whole life and who thinks he's going to be in the big leagues, you know, back in the day, he'd go play for UCLA or one of those teams on the West Coast, and he could continue to do that every day, and his life didn't change. Well, now if you sign with one of these schools, you're going to see some places you've never seen before, but it sure isn't going to be like what it is in other spots. So I'm just not sure. Again, everything's focused on football and to a degree basketball, but spring sports are affected a lot. And I think the demise of the Pac-12 has done a lot to hurt college baseball, you know, in terms of the schools there.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit ArlingtonHotel.com for more info.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
Bet Online is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Didn't talk much about Hagan's loss of velocity yet, and I was kind of saving that question for you. That was something I saw a lot of Razorback fans pointing to and just wondering about. He goes two innings. Dave talked about it before the game, after the game. That was kind of the plan, so I wasn't really shocked by that. But what did you make of him being kind of in the low 90s, a few miles per hour lower than he usually is?
Oh, woe is me. I wish I could have dropped down to the low 90s. That would have been a pretty good thing. You know, a lot of leg fatigue, back fatigue. You know, you talk about arm. People say, well, his arm is tired. His arm's probably not tired. Legs are the first thing to go. You lose velocity when your legs get a little tired. Playing in really, really hot weather, a little bit heavier air, not as big a deal as people put it, as they want it to be. If you spot your pitches and you're still changing up speeds and pitching, it shouldn't be that big of an issue. They look at too many analytics, I think, sometimes. They always spin rates down. Well, is the wind blowing at you? Is the wind blowing against you? Is the wind blowing sideways? All those things affect spin. All those things affect velocity. So I don't think it's as big a deal as people think.
And Nick Schmidt, we had him on yesterday, and he was talking about it was more of like spotting pitches back when he was playing than actual velocity and the spin rate, as you referred to. A guy that has a lot of spin rate is Brady Tiger. And if you look at Brady's sixth inning, it was really good. Three up, three down, got it done quick. And then the seventh inning kind of got away from him with that foul tip, the grounder that he misplayed. How much do you think that affected him, and how are you feeling about Tiger heading into next weekend where they're going to need him?
You know, I think his stuff is more mental fatigue. He and Molina both, I think they had a little mental fatigue. You know, getting that 5 inches between your ears right is a big deal, because it's not like they all of a sudden don't have good stuff. They've got great stuff. the mental part of it is putting it where you need, where it needs to be, not putting it down the middle of the plate, not making those mistakes, because hitters are going to hit mistakes. That's what big hits come on. They don't come on a great pitch. Very rarely do they come on a great pitch. There are the greatest hitters will hit anything, but 99% of the other guys, they hit mistakes. So not making mistakes is a whole lot bigger than better than not than making all great pitches. It's just mistakes are the ones that get hit. So I think, you know, this is going to be a get your mind right week, because it's not like we don't have the talent. Our pitchers don't all of a sudden not have velocity. They can't throw their pitches. They can't do this, can't do that. They just have to go out and perform. And the attitude will change from the conference tournament to you know, it's win or go home. Yeah. And they know that. And that puts a little bit more immediacy on it.
Yeah. And how do you shift that mindset, Scott? I mean, because you're right, it's you know, not immediately win or go home in a regional, but it's 2 of 3 the following weekend. It's you got to win 2 in a row, really, to have a great chance to win a regional. And the pressure, how do you change gears on that mindset once you reach this point in the season?
Well, I know Norm would have helped speed that process up quite a bit. I don't know how. I know Dave is a very intense person. I don't think he's as loud as Norm used to be or as physical. We probably have a couple of days off getting back today. He probably have today off and tomorrow off. We'd all be going fishing and doing whatever we would do, trying to find out where we're going to go to a regional. Now they find out who's going to come to their regional. So totally different. Totally different time in the program, but Norm would have sped that up. You know, the sense of urgency would have been there because Norm said it was, and you would know it, and it would be in everything we did. Workouts would be a little bit more intense. Grunders, as he used to call them, would be a little bit harder. You know, batting practice would be a little bit more intense, and so it just picks up. And as a player, these guys are all, they grew up playing tournaments. You know, high profile tournaments. That's what they did. That's what travel ball is all about. And so tournament play is a little different, yeah. And I love it. I always enjoy going to tournaments and playing tournaments and you know, seeing different teams coming in instead of playing the same guys that you have all the information on and the newness of it.
Yeah. Scott Tabor with us on the McLarty-Daniel Hotline. It's brought to you by Alumni Hall. 5 errors in 2 games in Hoover. This is a team that's been in the 970s, approaching 980 defensively, and been one of the better defensive teams all season. What do you make of the lack of cleanliness in their defense the last couple of games?
Well, this season, this team is built on good pitching, great defense, not great hitting. This team is a pitching and defense team. If the defense goes away, we're not going to be very good. Or if the pitching goes away, we're not going to be very good. They both pick each other up, and you know, we have to have enough hitting and enough base runners to get by. So, you know, errors happen. I mean, and that's why you go a whole season. You know, nobody's perfect through a whole season. This was our time in the barrel. It seems like once they happen, it's just one guy missed a ground ball, another guy missed a ground ball, you know, the ball to Tiger, the high spin. Those are not easy plays. But you got to know as a veteran that you got to clinch it down. You got to get a hold of it before you try to do anything with it because it's still spinning. Those are all plays that just need to be made, you know, and don't be in a hurry. Just field the ground ball. You've done it thousands and thousands of times this year. And you don't know. You can't. There's no explanation for it.
Scott, do you start Molina next week? He's looked really good these last two outings out of the bullpen. You start him on Friday?
I got to tell you, I love Molina coming out of the pen. You know, he could be the unsung hero, the guy that everybody is so down on as a starter because the mentality is different. As a starter, you sit there and you kind of temper yourself a little bit. You know, you go, I tempered yourself a little bit. How are you going to pitch every time through the lineup? So I looked at going through the lineup 3 times to get to the ninth inning, seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, third time through. That's the way I looked at it. And so you don't pitch them the same going every, you know, but as a reliever, you come in and it's just every pitch is get the guy out. You know, do it now. Don't wait. Don't save yourself for later because you're in there for a short period of time. And I think that change in attitude, that's been good for him. He looks like a totally different pitcher. Getting out of the first and second inning versus coming in and throwing the sixth, seventh, and eighth, you know, he was having trouble getting out of the first part of the game. And now he's coming in and he's just nails. So I like I said, the 5 inches between his ears, I think, has gotten right.
5 or 6 days will be the time period that Dave and Matt Hobbs have to decide who's going to start on Friday. Do you expect to see Hagan either in the afternoon or the night of the Fayetteville Regional for game one?
I do. There's no real throwing off in the regionals. You know, you can't say, well, we're going to throw off because next week we want to have our guys set up for the – you throw off and it doesn't work. Or Hagan doesn't have his great stuff the second day, or you lose the first game, and now Hagan has to go in there and he has to win. You know, you want to go in and win that first game. I think put the Hagan Smith out there, let Hagan be Hagan, play good defense, you know, score a couple of runs and win the ball game, and then move on. You have enough horses in your pitching staff to where the next two games shouldn't be as big an issue as what people are making it to be.
Yeah. SEC projected to get at least 10 by many of the experts. Some think could be 11. What are your thoughts on the SEC in the postseason? Because, you know, we seemingly say this every year. It seems to be the deepest league we've had in a long time. But this year, when you look at maybe a record number of teams making the field, I think that cliche may carry a little more weight.
Well, it is a deep league, and it is deep by talent and also by perception, because you'll see teams that we go, oh, yeah, well, they're going to go into a regional. They're going to reek. Even though they're at the bottom of the SEC, they're just going to rake. Well, and then they'll get beat by, you know, Queen Mary's one-eyed gangsters from somewhere up in New York City. And you go, well, how'd that happen? There's talented baseball players at every level, and every SEC team has very, very, very talented players. And so when you see Missouri or LSU or Vanderbilt, you go, God, they're not very good this year. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. They're good. They've got great, talented players. If all those players, all of a sudden things start playing, they play loose and they start hitting the ball and pitchers are hitting their spots and you have, you don't have to have a whole season full of great plays and great pitches and great hits. You got to have two or three games, you know, and all of a sudden you're in the World Series. And so there's always a chance, and that's one of the great things about postseason. I mean, in baseball, it's really, really the wild, wild west. It's just because there's so much talent across the country and so many players.
And to your point, even the four seeds that go across the country, the 16 of those, they're there because they at least have one good pitcher that put them in that spot. He's going to throw against that one seed no matter who they throw. And if you're not ready, that crafty lefty or whatever they put up there could be your undoing.
Exactly, because it's exactly right, because facing that first hitter, that first game of every tournament is the toughest because they're number one guy. It's like in high school, the first game of the state tournament, you're facing the other guy's best guy, and they always have one. So even though we're throwing our best guy, we know they're not going to hit the ball. We're not going to hit the ball if he's a great pitcher. That's where you become a great pitcher because nobody hits you. So it's going to be a nip and tuck, who's going to make the mistake, who's going to miss a ground ball or misplay a fly ball or have a pass ball or something fluky. So you got to play good sound baseball, hit the ball, put the ball in play, and let your pitcher do his thing.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Didn't go well for the Hogs in the first inning against Kentucky. And Hagan Smith walked the first guy, had an overthrow to first. Then Hudson White had an overthrow to third. And just a couple of miscues that are not typical of this baseball team. And Dave felt like that maybe Hagan was a little too amped up yesterday.
Probably a little amped up, leaving some things up, fastball up, and, you know, just not real sharp. And I think he got a little frustrated, but that's about what we wanted him to throw right there, you know, 35, 40 pitches, 2 to 3 innings max. And we just thought, hey, that's enough. So give him a little opportunity to have a couple days rest more than normal leading into next weekend. Hagan's Hagan. He's good. He'll be ready to go.
Two runs, two hits, and a walk, but he still had four strikeouts in two innings. So even what we would consider a non-typical Hagan outing still ended up with four strikeouts yesterday. Now he'll have at least a week's rest to either get ready for Friday and Saturday, depending on what Dave Van Horn and Matt Hobbs decide for this upcoming regional set up. And I listened to Ruskin and Zach yesterday, Chuck, when you were on, and I thought you made a good point because I hadn't thought about it. It's like, oh, they'll probably play Friday night and Hagen will pitch then. But Dave's kind of had a history and track record going to that afternoon game on Friday.
He has, and I'll be anxious to see what they do here. You know, that's a pattern that he started really when he was in Nebraska, and he's followed through on that a lot here. So I don't know what their decision will be there, but there's reason to believe it might be in the afternoon.
Yeah, if it's not really hot, he likes that. It gives you a little bit more rest before you play the evening game on Saturday if you win. It can be a two-edged sword, but it's worked out a lot more than it hasn't as far as the timing. I think he likes the extra rest, Chuck.
Yeah, lots of teams do this when you get to the regional round, and it's a little bit counterproductive, it would seem, from the outside looking in terms of crowd and things like that, but it'll be full. They can play at 9 o'clock in the morning next Friday. It'll be full.
You just got to add, I know they sometimes like to do the thing where your athletics director, your head baseball coach has officially signed you out of work that you can get out and leave early to go watch the game. Might have that next weekend, too. All right, last thing here in your Hog update. It's all it was official. Brad Calipari, John's son, has been named an assistant coach and director of on-court player development. He's worked at Vanderbilt the last 2 years, played under Cal, went to another college and played for a little bit, Detroit Mercy, I believe. And now it's we knew he was going to come in some capacity. Now we know what that capacity is, guys.
Yeah, no real surprise there. I think this was, I hate to use the term formality, but that's basically what it was.
Yeah, again, I mean, I think we've known. It's just, again, the official announcement. I think we've known for weeks now that he was going to be a part of whatever it was. We just, like I said, got details on his role.
All right, this is your Hog update this morning. It is brought to you by our friends at Mr. Sparky.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY.
All right, it is that time of the morning on a Friday as we welcome in our friend Sean from the Fence Man here on a Fence Man Friday. Sean, you got that bright orange shirt on today, man. Welcome in.
You bet. I've got to go out and see a few job sites this morning and, you know, they're commercial, so I've got to wear my safety orange to make sure I don't get ran over by a piece of equipment, you know.
they give you the hard helmet, too?
I have one. It's got a few stickers on there. It says some stuff that's a little humorous.
Okay.
So
should have worn that in there, too.
That's right.
All right, let's get into it. It is another Fence Man Friday.
Fence Man Friday Picks. Call the Fence Man for all kinds of fences, controlled access, and custom iron projects. 479-782-3936. The Fence Man. We ain't afraid of no work.
All right, so we're going to do a couple things today. We're going to talk some SEC baseball. We got the NBA games, one tonight, one tomorrow, and the Indy 500, the 108th edition, coming up this weekend. Guys, we'll start with the elimination game, Kentucky against South Carolina, Tommy. Arkansas lost to both squads. You've got great hitters, Walter Schmidt, Messina.
Mm-hmm.
Who stays? Who leaves today?
I think Kentucky will stay. This is rare air for their program. I think they probably value a little longer ride in the SEC tournament. I think Kentucky wins this game.
I think Kentucky wins it, too. They're a little more talented than South Carolina. We've seen that at times this season. Chuck, I've got the Cats taking it over the Gamecocks later on today.
Well, I'm going to flip a coin and go with South Carolina.
Who do you like in this one, Sean?
Well, I believe, like you guys, I think Kentucky's probably got the better depth. But I'm going to go with Chuck. I think we're going to have South Carolina's the underdog. I think they're going to bring it off.
All right, let's go to Knoxville, where the Tennessee Volunteers, I say in Knoxville, go to Hoover. Well, they'll take on Mississippi State for the right to say. Tony Vitello and company beat Texas A&M, continuing on. Again, only one of two top four seats left. Tommy, I think they stay. I think that they advance like Kentucky, and they get it tomorrow and move on to Saturday.
I'll go with Vanderbilt. So, I mean, not Vanderbilt, Mississippi State.
Chuck, what do you think? Mississippi State or Tennessee?
I'm going to go with Tennessee. Mississippi State was there really late last night. Yeah. And I think Tennessee outslugs them.
I think they lost 4-3, a tight one to Vanderbilt, so that could wear on them a little bit. Sean, what do you think in this one, man?
Go Vols all the way.
I figured that.
I think they're going to take
big
it.
Big orange, baby.
They're going to take the whole
shirt.
Tournament. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
He's repping. All right, you got the Minnesota Timberwolves hosting the Dallas Mavericks game two tonight. Minnesota is a 5.5-point favorite this one. I know that they had a lead in the fourth quarter against the Mavs, let it slip away. I think they come back not only win, they cover tonight, Tommy.
Yeah, I got the T-Wolves winning this one. I don't think they'll fall back 2-0.
I got to go with Minnesota tonight as well.
Sean, do you think that Minnesota, are you going to stay on the or stay on the island with us, or are you going to go by yourself?
I'm going with Dallas. I mean, you guys know that's close to home. We got a lot of fans here. That's what I'm going to go with.
All right.
All right, the other NBA game tomorrow night, the Pacers, even at home, are 7.5-point underdogs. I just think Haliburton getting injured last night, that hamstring in the third quarter. I think the Pacers end up losing this game. They might win game four, but they lose, and they lose by at least 10. So I've got the Boston Celtics covering the 7.5-point spread tomorrow night, Tommy.
The NBA things, strange things happen. I think the Pacers win this game and don't let it go 3-0 and lose the interest in the series. That just seems to be how the NBA works. Give me the Indiana.
Indiana covers. Boston wins. Get out the broom.
3-0. It's about to be potentially 4-0. All right, Sean, what happens tomorrow night?
Give me on Boston. ABC?
Boston. Yep. Boston. Yep. Celtics have, again, been good the majority of the season. Had a few miscues in the playoffs, but yeah, they ultimately, it sounds like they're going to close it out tomorrow, in the coming days with that series.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
Tom, I know you've made your way back from Hoover to the great state of Arkansas. I know we'll get into some Arkansas stuff in just a second, but maybe what you took away from the conference in the first few days and how things have shaken out to this point.
Well, there were some teams. Good morning. There were some teams that were really eager to solidify their tournament bids, and LSU certainly capitalized on that. You know, Mississippi State trying to become a regional host. Made a pretty good bid for that. Still alive, even though they lost last night. Vanderbilt, who probably was on the brink of inclusion, and now they're in there. So for the teams, it was really important for, you know, outside Ole Miss that lost and has a losing record now. Most of them did well. And the teams like Arkansas and Texas A&M that were probably assured of a host and probably a top eight seed going in, mm-hmm. that went 2 and out, they're probably still top eight seeds, but maybe you know, for Arkansas, if not maybe a 3 or 4, maybe they're down to a 5 or 6. But we'll find that out on Monday.
Yep. And the teams that are involved when Arkansas's where they are in the pecking order of national seeds 1 through 8 on Sunday, and then the actual team. Do you like how they split it up? I think it's kind of weird. I wish they would just do it all at once. But do you like how they push it all the way to Monday at 11 o'clock?
Oh, yeah. I misspoke on that. Yeah. No, it's cool to me that the national seeds come out the day earlier. It's it extends the intrigue, and I guess it gives the committee a chance to further, you know, nail down the final spots, because it's a lot easier to, you know, to get the 16 national seeds or whatever they're going to release on Sunday than it is to do the full field.
So you got two teams matching up today that Arkansas lost to, Kentucky and South Carolina. Then on the other side of the bracket, you got Tennessee and Mississippi State, one of which Arkansas has beat already in the series, one of which you have not seen play. Maybe what intrigues you about today, and then who will be facing LSU and Vanderbilt tomorrow, Tom?
Well, for Tennessee, I mean, look, Arkansas would have liked to have won games, and you can go into all the various factors that, you know, are going to apply to Arkansas heading into next week. But for Tennessee, you know, they might have, or Tennessee and Kentucky might have the top two national seeds nailed down at this point. Like, they could, for instance, both lose today and probably still do that. But LSU, I wrote about it in today's paper. The comparison to them and for Ole Miss in 2022, when they barely skeeched into the field. Now, I don't think LSU is going to barely skeech in the field. I think they're going to be a 3 seed, but they're just going to be dangerous because their hitting has come alive. You know, there's been a lot of home runs in Hoover, and LSU's hit 2 grand slams. I mean, yeah. Arkansas hit 3 yesterday, and Kentucky hit 3 in that game. But I think Tennessee and Kentucky are in fine shape. And for South Carolina and Mississippi State, if State can win and get to the final, I don't see how they don't become a top 16 seed. I sat next to Steve Robertson, you know, the kind of famous tattooed-up dude who covers Mississippi State. And he was plying me with the information about why Mississippi State should be a host, and that the teams they're up against, if you look at their KPI and their some various other indices, really aren't even close to Mississippi State. So, you know, it seems to me like SEC powers are convinced they're going to get, I think, 6 hosts, and that would probably mean that Georgia and Mississippi State are both in there.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. I thought it was interesting watching games throughout this week to this point that they spent some of their marketing time on that screen. I don't know if you've seen it being in the ballpark, but if you've watched them on the TV, where they've been marketing that 11 teams in the top 25 of the KPI, that's not messaged at the fans. I think that's messaged at the committee watching the games. And certainly this league's wanting to flex a little bit. So I think the interesting question is, how many of the top 8 seeds do you get? I believe a lot of people would say 4. Some would say Georgia may have a right to claim one of those, Tom. And, you know, when we look at the map of it, you know, later this weekend, how much national spread is there geographically for those top 8 national seeds? I think it's going to be an interesting draw when the committee releases their results.
It really will. And you're right. I did see the 11 in the top 25 marketing that was going on. I was not that well versed in the KPI heading into this week, and now I read about it more and all that yesterday, and it's been added to the metric that the committee's going to consider. And if you're the SEC, why not pump up that? Here's the new metric, and here's how we're dominating in the new metric. The selection committee head, so one of the teams that's kind of on the hosting bubble is at the school that is the committee head, and I apologize for not knowing if it's like East Carolina or pardon me for stumbling here, but it's a school that's in the conversation to host, and that might be one that knocks out an SEC school.
I think it is, you know, ECU, Tom. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yes, for a top 16 seed, that could be a team that does that, and their KPI is not as good, strength of schedule and all that. So, you know what? the SEC is going to be well represented. We've seen many years. You mean, the last time Arkansas was there in 22, wasn't it 5 out of the 8? And then Oklahoma and Texas were both in it. It was just incredible. Or maybe the SEC had 4 out of the 8 plus Oklahoma and Texas coming in, and that constituted 6. Like Oklahoma and somebody else were the others. So it's a power league. It's only gotten stronger. And when you see what happens to like Arkansas and A&M that had such great regular seasons, and they go in and go 0-2, it just kind of shows you that anybody in this conference can rise up. And look at the national championships from the last several years. It's been SEC schools ever since the Arkansas-Oregon State CWS in 2018.
Yeah, 1-7 for those national champions in the last 3 years in Hoover. Tom, give us a sense of you're there. Like I can listen to Dave, I can watch Dave, but I mean, what was the sense you drew yesterday being at the press conference, watching his mannerisms after the game, and just seeing him interact with the guys on the field following the 9-6 loss?
Well, they've tried to do a lot of different things to get guys going, like not put mental strain on them and pressure. And by that, you know, Kendall Diggs and, you know, and Aloy right now, he's not in a super good place hitting. And they've used 50-something different unique batting orders this year, and that just tells you that they're searching. Who can get hot? The amount of different guys they've used, the rotations in left field and DH has really in center field, it's just been incredible. We've never seen a season like this because they're not hitting like maybe you thought they would hit. And the pitching that had been so reliable, well, not only have they, you know, lost Hagan Smith's last two starts, but they, you know, he got a loss yesterday. So, and then the question was, well, after Hagan, what have you got? Well, now it looks like Molina has been, you know, confident coming out of the bullpen. So what do you do with that? Do you put him back in the starting rotation again? You know, maybe you do because Gage Wood got knocked around yesterday. So they have a lot of questions, really, pitching and hitting. And then the pitcher's fielding yesterday led to multiple runs, right? I mean, yeah. Brady Tigert's the deal in the 7th inning, and then, you know, Hagan Smith's throw to first base. And so defense was flawed a little bit. So I think being on the road all these days, I think they're going to really appreciate resting up at home for several days and then finding out, you know, what your draw is and then just getting ready to try to kick it into a new gear, wipe the slate clean, and see if you can get some guys going.
Yeah. Arkansas's won 3 of the last 10 or lost 7 of the last 10. What's the proper level of anxiety headed into next week?
Well, if you're a Razorback fan that saw them, you know, a super hot TCU team come in last year and just knocked the ball all over the yard in Fayetteville, you're concerned because of all the things I just listed. Guys who aren't hitting super well. You know, Hagan wasn't sharp yesterday. And then what is your starting pitching going to look like behind them? Yeah, you got a deep bullpen. I mean, when you think of Fouch and Flaherty and a few other guys, recent outings have been really good. So, yeah, you want to use them, but you want to be able to spot them up over the weekend, spread them out, close games and things like that. I think the level of anxiety is pretty high just because the clutch hitting, for all the factors that we talked about, and then you add clutch hitting to it, that they're not getting enough of it. I mean, Peyton Holt's 3-run homer yesterday was a bit of an outlier. They've had bases loaded and, you know, they get a sac fly or they get an RBI ground out instead of a gap or double that clears the bases. So there's a lot of anxiety. They've got to try to just mentally refresh and come out with a new approach that they're going to deliver in clutch situations.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.